We'd like to welcome
Love
everybody.
Talk Radio.
We'd like to welcome everybody again to another episode of Africa on the Move with your host, Brother African. Today we're going to be speaking with two community organizers who will address the theme and the topic of how to move our community forward and how can we do that. We really would like to know, how can we move our community forward? With us, we have with our Sister Fran and Sister Nima. They are both organizers in the African American community. One is in California, the other one is in Baltimore, Maryland. First and foremost, we'd like to welcome both Sister Nima and Sister Fran to Africa on the Move. Welcome to Africa on the Move, sisters.
Thank you.
How are you today?
Good. Before we get started, what I normally do is ask my guests to just talk just a little bit about who they are. So start with you, Sister Fran. Would you introduce yourself to our audience?
Certainly. Thank you very much, Lee. I'm Fran Jones, as you stated, and right now I'm living in Sacramento, California. I'm a certified herbalist and naturally a broadcaster. I do technical broadcasting and development of community-based shows and shows that are oriented toward the African community. And as you said, I'm an organizer, and I have taken my organization skills and placed them in technology. You know, we're talking about virtual organizing and communications.
Okay. Sister Nima, can you introduce yourself?
Yes. Nima Ogunronke here in Baltimore, executive director of my nonprofit organization, which uses the cultural arts for social and behavioral change, community activist, and wellness practitioner.
Good. You know, we're going to find this particular program very interesting because most of the time when you hear people in our community particularly information, it's normally brothers, normally male. Well, we know that 50% of the population is made of females, and as old saying, the sister have the sister hold up the sky. So we are proud to have y'all two sisters on this particular program tonight and to share your vision, views, understanding of our people, their community, and how we can move our people forward. First and foremost, there are so many things going on today, and I'd like each one of y'all to give a general assessment, the state of affairs of y'all community. Start with you, Frank. How would you describe the state of affairs of our people community in general and the community you live in right now?
Well, they are in my location here in Sacramento, California, and we're talking, and I'm going to address the African community, is loosely knitted, very, very loosely knitted. There are forms of communication. There are several organizations, but then again, just like I said, it is very, very loosely connected. It does not have that collective solidarity. First of all, we're in a different location, and within the parameters of the United States, communities are spread out all from east to west, and they all have a different mindset. It's almost like a different cultural environment. And that's where we are at this time. We're connecting, but slowly, but surely. And they're all connected to each of the organizations that I have run across, basically are connected to or other organizations outside of the African criteria or parameters. So there you go.
Okay. Sister Lima, how would you describe the state of our people in general? And maybe with your community in particular.
Well, it would be easier for me to talk about my community, which I'm keeping the faith for my community. One of the biggest problems, you know, is not having activity for young people. We do have some progressive individuals that I network with. Unfortunately, because we each live in, you know, different areas or different parts of the city, the work that I do as a community activist is very, very difficult when you're working by yourself to try to motivate individuals to improve the quality of their life. So through the organization, one of the things that I found that bring people together so that information can be provided to them is through the arts. Most people will come out for the arts, and particularly the cultural arts. I think the biggest problem, it seems, for our people is apathy. Everyone is thinking as an individual rather than a collective, as Sister Fran mentioned. And as long as we think as an individual, our coming together is going to be difficult. So at this particular point, I'm just keeping the faith for my entire community to, you know, be as one.
Well, you know, in terms of both of your analysis of some of the issues and concerns that affect our people and our community, both of y'all seem to raise one of the question of individuality or individualism, which we all know that, you know, that's really a byproduct of capitalism. Given the fact that we've seen, too, at the stage, still have this massive problem of individualism, what do y'all think can be done to overcome those boundaries, to break those boundaries down, where people can begin to start thinking, acting more collectively? Sister Fran.
Education. Education from those of us who are already in the collective mindset. And as you well know, Lee, my effort on that part is using virtual community. In other words, developing broadcasts that people can access, our people can access and learn and listen, and not only just listen, but give feedback, because we don't talk enough. We don't talk to each other, you know, and I think that's one of the worst problems, that the lack of communication amongst our people. We are not responsible collectively for what happens to us. We, as the sister said, the individuality, we focus on individuality, and we all know that that's capitalism at its best. But you have to, it's okay to be an individual, but you have to bring that individual into the fold and become a part of the collective. And what, and I feel that one of the ways of doing that is to reach people on a broad scale. Like I said, each community has its own particular culture, but it can be combined in a virtual setting, you know. And there wouldn't have to excuse for not being able to get there or what have you. You can tune in, listen, and learn, and develop a virtual university online, African University Online. And that is my goal, and I think that is only one of the facets that we can use to develop collectivity with the African diaspora in America.
What would be your solution addressing this question of individuality? Sister Nima, what do you think? How can we move on that barrier?
Well, right now, I can't say that I have a solution. Our problem is so widespread, it's not going to be one thing. So for me and the work that I do with self-identity, I find that once people can have a true sense of their self-identity, their cultural history, then they're open. You know, their mind is open to understand the truth about our circumstances and how we are, or how we got to the place that we are now, and then be willing to change that by working together. So with the group of people that I work with, we all come with our different expertise to approach our people, to be an example for them to have their self-identity.
Now, thinking with you, Sister Nima, in terms of this concept of self-identity, I often hear people ask the question, what would it do for people, for individuals, once they become more conscious of themselves? How do you really see that working out in terms of having an impact of changing their economic and political realities in the U.S. and throughout the world?
Well, I always think that if people have the truth and understand the truth and accept the truth, they're better able to make decisions. I can't see anyone unless they want to be in denial, and they're going to be people like that, I'm sure. But once individuals, in my experience, identify with the truth, understand their experience here in this United States and how our development was suppressed by this system, I really can't see how anyone would not want to change. But for those people who don't, then maybe the next time around. But those who, you know, understand the truth, understand how this system functions, how it suppressed us, quite naturally the next step is to move towards like-minded people.
Sister Fran, your response to how would the question of coming to one's self-identity would impact on one's economical and political way of living and life as reflects our people here throughout the world?
Sure. Learning who you are.
Go ahead.
I was getting ready to say that knowing who you are is necessary in having a healthy mind. All right, we're talking psychology here. And they teach you in psychology that one of the issues that people have is identity, you know, and we have an identity crisis. You know, that has to be healed. We have to know who we are before we can do or move forward at all, individually or as a group. You know, we don't know who we are. Therefore, it's a part of us that's missing. And we cannot function, you know, in any capacity the way we should until we understand just who we are. Then we'll be able to build, move forward, you know, economically, any kind of way you want to. But until we understand who we are, we have a problem.
So listen to your two statements in terms of addressing this issue of self-identity. It leads me to have to at least raise the fundamental question with both of y'all. And this question is, what is the role and purpose of these educational institutions? If we send our kids to these institutions and they're coming back more confused than before in terms of who they are, what is their role and how do we change those institutions to make them reflect the interests and needs of our people? Either one of y'all can take it first.
Well, you know, some of these are long-term solutions. And, you know, we have to go back to square one. We can't make changes within the system unless we accept the wrongness within the system. And how do we accept that? By knowing who we are. There's going to be long-term strategies that need to be done in terms of changing the educational system. We probably have to, and some have already created their own. So none of this is going to be short term. All of this is long term strategy that we have to stick to as a process.
Sister Fran, addressing the special rule or the education solution.
Well, I agree with the system, sister 100%. The educational system that we have now, or we've been exposed to, is not designed to create a collective, an African collective. Let's get that out there first, all right? And I also agree when she says we're going to have to teach our own, you know, and we're going to have to start doing that. Those of us who are aware, we're going to have to start teaching, starting with the very young and their parents. You know, if it's on a one-on-one basis, fine. You know, if it's in under a group setting, it's fine. But you have to start somewhere. And I always say when you start something, you always start at home. Be home. If home to you is the house you live in, the block you live on, or the city that you reside in. And that's what we're going to have to do. Those who are aware, we're going to have to come together and set curriculums in teaching our people who they are. We have to have our own universities.
In terms of this alienation of our youth as it relates to being connected with the rest of the sectors of our community, remember earlier, Sister Neem, I think you said your organization, one of the things y'all want to do is use culture as a means to elevate and, you know, transform our youth. How do you really see culture really playing a role in terms of making our youth become more responsible and better people?
Well, that's the question that we actually pose to the youth, and it's very interesting what their response is because, for the most part, they don't see it in the beginning as an asset to change their life. And so that definitely says to me that there's a need for that because culture for me is synonymous with self-identity. And so, but I use culture so that, you know, would put them in the mindset to understand that I'm talking about, and specifically African culture, and for them to reconnect. But in the beginning, when we start working with youth and even adults and talking about culture, they don't see how having an understanding of their cultural heritage is going to change their now. But through the process, they begin to open up and see how it does benefit them from understanding who they are, the sacrifices of our ancestors, just understanding that whole process. The government, through its racial suppression, but also the financial suppression and keeping us poor in mind, body, and spirit.
Sticking with that subject, Sister Fran, I notice, or I'd like to raise the question first, is do you still see this whole question of African culture being denigrated, not being recognized, making it like something other than aspects of being human? For example, I notice when I look at a lot of the established media and news today, they seem to be going back to attacking the different aspects of African culture and saying negative things, making it less than, et cetera. Have you noticed those tendencies have seemed like coming back, in particularly in Western Europe and the U.S. today?
Actually, I've noticed that they never left. You know, they were more subtle. You know, coming out of the 70s into the 80s, they were subtle. And it became very broad, a broad spectrum of it just changed dramatically in the 90s. Well, you have to realize that when I say, I often speak of responsibility, individual and group responsibility, and our responsibility to our children and to our communities, we've dropped the ball. It's just that simple. We've dropped the ball. Those who teach our children select the curriculum. And I've seen quite a few curriculums across the United States in the last 10, 12 years. And they select what part of African-American, let me put it like this, African-American history or the history of the African in America in their curriculums. They go nowhere near the beginning. They go nowhere. We still don't know where we've come from. We don't understand the culture or anything else. So we have left the responsibility of education to our former masters. So therefore, you know, when it comes to curriculum, when it comes to education, our children and we have been educated to be an advanced form of slave. It has nothing to do with self. It has nothing to do with realization. It has nothing to do with understanding who and what you are. And that will continue until we take over. And I know I sound like a broken record, but it's true.
Mr. Lima, just stick with that, and then we move forward with one other thing. I have noticed, you know, being among the youth, you know, just as an example, they some kind of way they still have this conception that not behaving is bad hell. How would you deal with a youth who has that kind of perception of their hell? How would you get them to change it to make them see themselves more positively?
Well, you know, first we have to develop a relationship with young people. Members of my organization, that's what we do first, establish a relationship, establish what they believe their needs are and understanding their thought process. We listen to them, in other words. And after listening to them and making them feel a part and letting them know that we identify with them, all we can do, all anyone can do, is to give the individual the truth. That's it. We can't force anyone. We can't make it happen. We deliver what we know is worthwhile to them to have. And then the hope and prayer is once someone has the ability to for strategic thinking, for understanding their situation, for understanding what barriers have been put in place for them, and that this whole process was designed to keep them pigeonholed, it's been up to them. It's up to the individual to take information and truth and do the right thing with it.
Okay. You know, earlier you said one thing we would like to address on this particular topic now is how to move the community forward. What implies many things because we have, as y'all alluded to earlier, we have all kind of issues that are affecting our people. Whether it's psychological, sociological, economically, politically, you name it. In terms of, as a member of an organization, can you talk us a little bit more about your organization and what you're doing in present in the community today in terms of helping to move our people forward? Start with you, Sister Fran, then I come to Nima.
All right. As I said, I focus on broadcasting, and it works, and it's amazing. You connect with other people who have the same mindset, and they develop curriculum, and I consider it curriculum, not programming, but curriculum to broadcast out into the world, and you would be surprised how many people come in to listen and come back. And if you talk to and talk with, because that's what we do, we talk with, not at, but talk with the community, you would be surprised how many come back and want to know more. It's just like your show. This show, you broadcast, we're talking. There are going to be people, maybe nobody's listening right now, but you go back in the middle of the week and look, somebody has been in to listen. And that's an opportunity, you know, to help a person want to research and know more about themselves. And the second part that I work on is your physical health, because that has a lot to do with how your mind perceives, you know, and how it functions and how you understand. And we are in a situation where we're eating deadly poisons and our water is poisoned, and therefore the brain can't work the way it should. So it is difficult to initiate concepts to people anyway, but when your mind is not functioning and you're not living the way you should, you know, it makes it harder. It makes it much harder. So I do those two. I work in those two areas, broadcasting, getting information out, and helping people to understand how their body should work, what the fuel is for the body, so the body can work, so the mind can work with crystal clarity, so that things will become clearer to them and they can understand. Mm-hmm. And I know that sounds simple, but it is.
Sister Fran, one thing I'm familiar with some aspect of your work, which I think is very important in terms of the community to know. I think a lot of people really don't know about Oregon struggle dealing with GMO. Processing foods that they are making, and how it's playing the role of outright just really creating diseases and killing our people. Talk to us a little bit about that before we go to Sister Nima. I think that's very important that people need to know. And unfortunately, I know in California, y'all didn't get the resolution passed this time, but I know y'all will continue to struggle to do so. But just talk a little bit about that.
Yes, we will. Certainly. Now, what Brother Lee is talking about is GMOs, genetically modified organisms. And what is a GMO? It is any organism that has been changed genetically, genetic engineering. And whether you know it or not, over the last 10 to 15 years, a lot of your food products have been genetically modified. So what happens when you genetically modify an ear of corn? that is no longer an ear of corn. It looks like the ear of corn, but the process and what it has is absolutely different. These things are killing us. In your water, and I'm trying to keep it short, but your water, for instance, about maybe 20, 25 years, more than that, they were starting to put fluoride in your water. Well, okay, that's for your teeth, and it's aimed at the young, say between the ages of 2 and 5. Well, that sounds like a good plan. No, it is not. In the 1940s, during World War II, one of the chemical weapons that the German Nazi Party used was fluoride. Now, how is that a weapon? One of the properties of fluoride is docility. In other words, it'll make you docile. And that's how they could round up people. That's how they could keep them in the concentration camps. That's how they could keep them in the ghettos, using fluoride to make you docile. And I've talked to a civil engineer here, and I'm talking to other people. And in every major city in the country, you've been getting fluoride in your body for a very, very long time. And there are other things that fluoride does to you, but I usually tell people first about being docile. And if you notice, we are docile. Things happen, and we don't make a move. You know, it works. So you're being poisoned, and you need to learn about your food. The packaged foods that you have, I don't care if it was a potato in the beginning, even an organic potato in the beginning, and you start eating it as potato chips. Well, a lot of the value has been lost. And other things have been added because it's a short trip between a natural potato and a potato chip. There's the salt, there's the oil, and all of these things go toward destroying your body. You destroy the body, you destroy the mind. You destroy the mind, you destroy the people.
Okay, I'm going to stop right there, Sister Fran, and go to Sister Nima to ask her to talk us a little bit about her nonprofit organization and some of the things they're doing to help their people move forward. Sister Nima?
Yes, again, the name of the organization is OYO Traditions Cultural Arts Institute, a long name. And again, what we primarily do is use the cultural arts for social and behavioral change. We take a holistic approach to try to solve, if you will, or improve the social issues that are impacting our community. So we do programs around wellness. I'm a wellness practitioner. We do programs around the environment. Here in Baltimore, there was where they were just cutting down trees within the African American community. So we did a program around replanting trees and explaining to people the importance of trees, the importance of the air quality, of water, everything Fran talked about. So we do a variety of different programs from a holistic point of view to try to prepare our people for all facets of making changes in their life.
Okay, in closing, I'd like each one of y'all sisters just make a statement about how you can be reached and what can we just summarize briefly one or two things that we can do to help our community in closing. Go ahead, Sister Nima.
Could you repeat that question? I didn't understand.
Can you just summarize one or two things that people can do again in terms of how can we move our community forward?
By helping each other. Because there's so many things that can be done that we know needs to be done, and maybe some people are not prepared for it. Everything that I talked about in my organization that we're trying to do, I don't do myself. I work with those professionals who are knowledgeable in that particular area to have an input. But I find that if we begin to help one another, by helping one another, we help ourselves. If we can just start there, just being kind and supportive and being there for one another, that will start a movement within itself.
That is beautiful to see. Sister Fran?
I can't say any more. That was perfect. That was absolutely perfect, sister.
Thank you.
Okay. For numbers where y'all can be contact for PCS working with y'all, where can you be reached, Sister Nima?
Well, I can be reached, and preferably I would like to give my email address out, if that's fine, because I don't do a lot of talking on the phone, and it's better for me because I'm always at the computer. So if I can do that, Brother Lee.
Okay. That'll be fine.
That's great. My email is black.clay@verizon.net.
And Sister Fran?
I can be reached at urbandiva@live.com. That's URBANDIVA at live.com.
Okay, in closing, we'd like to thank our guests tonight dealing with the topic moving our community forward. To our community organizers, Sister Fran and Sister Nima. Thank them for sharing their views and their experiences of working in the community with our people. And we'd like to thank you for listening to the program. Until next time, remember, you can always listen to Africa on the Move on Sundays at 6:30. So we look forward to seeing you next week at the same time, same station. And just remember to always do push to go forward ever and backwards never. We thank you for watching Africa on the Move.
Thank you, Brother Lee.
We thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.